in making the most of our time. Verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, being the text verse this morning, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this another beautiful day. We thank you for health and strength and this opportunity and this privilege to be back in your house this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the teaching of your word. We thank you for the prayers that's already been offered. We thank you for the beautiful singing. Lord, we thank you today that, Lord, because of you that we can stand redeemed, not because of ourselves and, Lord, our own works and our own righteousness, but, Father, because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus today. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that we can stand redeemed in the sight of God today and in the sight of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray now as we've gathered here this morning now, we pray that you will take over charge of the remaining part of this service. I pray he, the Holy Spirit, now will help us as we stand. I pray you'll anoint me with fresh oil, God. I realize today that, Father, I can do nothing, Lord, away from you, apart from you. So I pray that, Father, you anoint, Lord, me as your servant today, that I'll bring the message that's needed for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray that hearts, Father, will be tender and ears will be open, Father, to that, Lord, which you have for us in this hour. I pray that he, the Holy Ghost, will move. And Lord, I pray you'll speak to every heart. And I pray every heart, Father, will be sensitive, be obedient. I pray especially be that one here today that's never truly been born again. I pray this day, Holy Ghost of God, convict them and draw them and help them to come. Lord, one today that's cold and indifferent, Lord, whatever the need, I pray you'll just meet every need upon every heart. Help us to be obedient now. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, for a few moments this morning, as you pray for us, I want us to think about the thought again, making the most of our time. As has often been said, time is a precious commodity. None of us knows how much time that we have here on this earth. Therefore, we should consider what we will do with the time that we have. And I believe we ought to take that into consideration. What are we going to do? Are we going to make most of the time that we have? We need to understand that every day is a gift from God. And I believe if we looked at every day like that, we'd maybe survey the day and we'd be different in that day and look at the opportunities maybe that God presents us in that day to see that it is a gift of God. Let us be challenged here this morning to use it wisely, making our lives and time count for the glory of God. So I pray this morning again as we look at this thought, making the most of our time, that truly today we'll take into consideration those things that are most important, that we'd certainly look at our lives and prioritize things in a manner, in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, and that would be the most productive, certainly for our lives and certainly for our families, and certainly again today for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look at the word here now in the text in Ephesians chapter number 5 in verse number 16, again the text verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I believe that's just as current right now as it was the day that Paul penned this to the church at Ephesus. I'll tell you, we're living in evil days, in an evil time. And here, Paul is encouraging the folks, the church at Ephesus, to redeem the time. The word redeeming here now, as it's used in the text, the word simply means defined. It means to buy up. It means to rescue from loss. It also means to improve opportunity. And so those are the things that we want to kind of look at for just a few moments with the help of the Lord today as we think about redeeming the time or making the most of our time. I thought about this as I was studying and preparing. You know, we're living in busy times, very busy times. Everybody's busy today. I mean, there's a lot going on all around us. I mean, we're running here and we're running there, and there's a lot of things that take up our time. And certainly, as I said, time is a precious commodity. And certainly this morning, we all just have a certain amount of time. None of us here today know how much time that we have. Now listen, I'm not trying to be morbid in any way or anything like that. Hey, listen, I'm just trying to get us, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to focus in on this morning of making the most of the time that we have. Well, would you agree with me that a lot of us waste a lot of time? Now, I'll have to say, man, I mean, the Lord has already dealt with my heart about these things, and certainly I pray that He'll continue to do so and help me. But I say today that a lot of times, if we truly think about it, there's still 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year, unless it's a leap year, and then there's 366. I understand that. But certainly time has not changed as far as that part of it goes. But I would say today that we are living in busy times, and I understand that today, because we're all living in the same world, and all the same things are going on around. We're living in very busy times. But could I say, even though we're living in busy times, then certainly we need to make sure that, again, that we prioritize our time and our efforts today, and we make much of the time that God gives us. Now listen to me this morning. I understand that if you study your Bible, time means nothing to God like it means to us. And we understand that, hey, He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal. But you and I have just a short time that we're here on this earth. I pray that God would challenge us today to make sure that we make it count for the glory of God, that our lives make a difference, that our lives mean something, not only to us and to our families, but to those that we come in contact with. As I said, I thought about it, we live in busy times. But could I say, not only do we live in busy times, but we live in perilous times. I believe as Paul wrote there to Timothy, he talked about in the last days there would be perilous times. And that word perilous simply means dangerous times. I've never seen a more dangerous time in my lifetime, and I'm sure many of you would have to say amen right here. I'm talking about as we look at the world and we look at our surroundings and we look at all that's going on around us today. Not only are we living in busy times, but we're living in perilous times. As Paul wrote here, the days are evil, and certainly evil's all around us. Evil, it seems, is almost taking over. But I'm telling you, I'm glad there's a God in heaven. I'm glad He's still on the throne. I'm glad He's not sitting in heaven wringing His hands today, wondering what's going to happen next. I'm glad He's still, thank God, in control. I'll tell you today, we need to make sure as we live in these perilous times that we make the most of our time. We're living in busy times. We're living in perilous times. But could I say, thirdly, we're living in exciting times. Now, I know too many people doesn't seem to be excited. But you and I, as God's children, for those... Now listen, I'm going to say this. If you're not saved today, then friend, I will tell you, things not too exciting for you. Things not looking too good for you. But listen, I'm glad all that could change before you leave here this morning. But I'm talking about the ones that have been redeemed as they sang about this morning. Hallelujah. That ought to make us want to shout. That ought to make us want to praise God. That I stand redeemed, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, why is it exciting times? Because I believe we're living in those last days that Paul was writing to Timothy about and talking about those perilous, those dangerous times. You go down through that, there's a whole list of things that Paul gives. Hey, listen, we're living right now, I believe, in the very time, in the very days in which the Lord Jesus Christ could come back for the church. I'm telling you, a child of God, I'm telling you, thank God we don't have to go around with our head in the sand. We don't have to go out and go around with a pooch mouth. I'm telling you, it's exciting times. Hallelujah. God is still on the throne and Jesus is coming soon. I'll tell you, but what are we doing with the time that he's entrusted to you and I? It's still exciting times. It's exciting times for the child of God. Or it should be. Listen, every promise he's ever made, he's going to keep. Thank God for that. He's coming back. I say he's coming back. I say he's coming back. Preacher, when's he coming? I don't know, but isn't it exciting to know that he is? If we're not careful, we'll let the events of the day, the events of the week, and the events of life determine how we spend our time. If we're not careful, we spend more time complaining than we do praising. More time worrying than we do worshiping. I don't have those wrote down. Amen. That's pretty good. But it's the truth. Making the most of our time. I got three very simple things that I want to share with you quickly today. First of all, in making the most of our time, the first thing that I thought about in talking about these busy times and these perilous times and these exciting times, I thought about, first of all, that we need to be careful with procrastination. Let me say that again. Some of you didn't get it. We need to be careful with procrastination. Evidently, some other folks in here this morning besides me that's guilty. Amen. But I'm telling you, isn't it amazing how many times we say that we're going to? Amen. Are you with me? Now, don't go to sleep on me or it'll take me a long time to preach it. You can get your nap after church. After you have your fried chicken, you can have your nap. All right? But we need to be careful with procrastination. Why? Because how many of us want to get down to the end of our life and have spent our time wishing we had? Now, I believe all of us this morning, if we'd be honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord, all of us today have spent some time in procrastination. We have good intentions, but there's been a saying for a long time, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We intend to do better. We intend to certainly spend our time in better ways than maybe than what we have in the past. But man, it's so easy to put off tomorrow what you really need to do today. It's easy to do. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. Do you understand that I can't do a thing about yesterday? I cannot go back and change yesterday. I cannot go back and redeem that time from yesterday. In other words, the opportunities that maybe God presented to me yesterday are now gone. The opportunities that I have today is the opportunities that I need to seize and take full opportunity of. And those, if he lets me lift, listen, I don't even know about tomorrow yet. Now he does, but I don't, and you don't. And therefore, if we're not careful, we'll spend our life in procrastination, wishing we would have done this or done that, but yet wishing never gets anything done. And especially when it comes to our spiritual lives and certainly our own spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of those around us and those that we come in contact with, then certainly if we're not careful, we will procrastinate. We will put off. As I said, let us not live our lives with a lot of, "I wished I had. I wished I had. I wished I had invited my loved one to church. I wished I had a witness to them. I wished I had done this or done that." It's awful easy to put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. I will apologize. I will ask forgiveness. I will make it right tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, the next day, or the next day, be careful of procrastination. Listen, it's something that will get us all if we're not careful. We need to be careful with procrastination. Let us not live out our lives with a lot of, "I wished I had." Now, I can truthfully say, standing in this pulpit this morning, there's some things that I wished I had that I can't go back and do now. I can't go back and change it. And neither can you. So, let us ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to help each of us today to those things that are most needful in our lives, those most needful things, especially for our spiritual lives, and those things that are most needful that I need to do. Lord, help me to take care of it now. Isn't it how amazing how the devil works in procrastination? Oh my. Be careful with procrastination. Make the most of our time. Romans 13, chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, but you're not home yet. I'm not home yet. But I'll tell you what, I want to be found faithful whenever he comes, whether it be by death or whether it be by the rapture, that he find me faithful when he comes. So are we making the most of the time that God has entrusted to you and I? I think the first thing that we must consider, again, is we must be careful with procrastination. Now let me say this morning. Again, 24 hours in a day, 5 days, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year. Now, I understand that all the busy, and listen, that doesn't mean that we got to spend every moment reading the Bible or praying. Listen, those are good things. I believe a life needs to be certainly well divided up. I mean, there's fun times, there's family times, but certainly there ought to be times that we feed the spiritual side and we do the things that God would have us do. But if we're not careful, those are the very things that we procrastinate with, those that are the most important. So what are we doing? Are we making the most of our time? Not only do we need to be careful with procrastination, but secondly, I thought about this. Our time needs to be productive, not destructive. Boy, sometimes if we're not careful, our time becomes destructive instead of productive. But could I say today that we need to consider in redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not only do we need to be concerned about our procrastination, but we also need to consider our being productive or our productivity. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 5 says this, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming There's that word again. It's the same word that Paul uses to the church at Ephesus, redeeming the time. In other words, as we've already kind of commented on, making the most of our opportunities. In other words, letting our life be productive. I don't know about you this morning, but I want my life to be productive for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, He's been good to me. I don't know about you. Now, I guarantee you, if you'd be honest before God today, you'd have to say that God has been good to you, especially if you're saved by the good grace of God today. I'm telling you, we could never do enough, and we're not trying to repay Him, but I want to tell you, we couldn't praise Him enough. We couldn't work enough. There's nothing that we could do to ever repay our Savior for being so good to us and doing all that He's already done and all that He's going to do. Hallelujah. Thank God, and all that He's even doing this day. God's been good to us, and thank God today we ought to allow our lives, or Him to use our lives, that we might be productive in the work of God this morning. I want my life to count. Don't you? We should want our life to count for the glory of God. How do we do that? Well, we need to make the most of our time. As I said, if we're not careful, we waste a lot of time. We have a lot of unproductive time. But how much productive time do we have? Three areas that I want to look at about being productive with our time. I thought about, first of all, our worship of Christ. As I've already remarked on today, He's worthy to be worshiped. Amen. Would you agree with me? Amen. Well, I wonder today, are we making the most of our opportunities in our worship of Christ? Is our worship service really a worship service? Who did we come this morning to adore? Who did we come to honor? Who did we come to worship? Who did we come to lift our voices and to lift our hands and to lift our hearts, especially to the one again that bled, died, and suffered that you and I could be saved? I'm telling you today, hallelujah, He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy this morning, church, of our worship and every opportunity that we have. Now, I understand that we can worship Him outside these walls, but I want to promise you, if you can't come in here and worship God, you're most not likely going to go out those doors and worship God. I'm telling you, yes, oh, preacher, I can worship Him just as good at home. No, you can't, according to the Scriptures. Now, you can worship Him at home. You can worship Him driving down the road. You can worship Him at the workplace. But again, friend, if you're not worshiping Him in the house of God, with the people of God, when the singing's taking place, when the preaching's taking place, when the Spirit of God's moving, then friend, you most likely are not going to go out in this world and worship our Savior this morning. And He's worthy to be worshiped. Well, preacher, I see worship a little differently than you see it. Well, how do you see it? When you worship something, or when you worship someone as great as the Savior. Now think about this for a minute. It ought to do something to you. It ought to bring a humbleness to our hearts. It ought to bring a smile upon our face. It ought to bring a spring in our step. It ought to put a song in our heart. Are we making the most of our time of worship? Redeeming the time. Again, remember, the definition of redeeming is to buy up, to rescue from loss, to improve on opportunity. Well, preacher, I'll do it next Sunday. I'm mad today, so I'm not going to worship today. Somebody, you preacher, you didn't come by and speak to me this morning, so I'm mad. But if you feel like that, you didn't come to worship, no way. Amen. I mean, honestly, are we taking full advantage? Are we improving upon our opportunity? Are we being productive in our worship? Well, preacher, it don't really matter. It matters to him. It matters to him today, friend, whether we worship him or not. See, Sunday, the day of worship, the Lord's Day, as we call it, has become everything else but a worship day. I didn't want to go here, but here we go. Amen. Put the plow down deep and let her plow. Now I realize there's things that has to be done. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which we know is not the same Sabbath that we come. We come on the first day of the week. Sabbath was on Saturday, and Jesus was going around to heal him. Boy, and it was tiring the Pharisees up. And man, I'm telling you, people were talking about it. But listen, he also taught them, if you got an oxygen ditch, you get it out. God understands those things. Boy, I'm glad he does, aren't you? But listen, when we allow the Lord's Day, the day that we, now listen, we can worship him anytime, but isn't it good? We call Sunday morning worship service. For some of you that may not know, we have a Sunday school hour at 10. And for some of you, we got prayer room at 9:30. We got a Sunday school at 10. And then at 11 o'clock, Miss Wanda, we call that what? Worship hour. Now, I know it runs longer than an hour most of the time. I understand that. But nowhere in the Bible do I see that God says for an hour you worship me and then you quit. Aren't we having fun this morning? But we call it a worship service, that we might come in and worship the King of Glory, that we might worship our Savior, that we might give him honor and glory and praise, and that our hearts would rejoice, and that we'd feel joy and peace and contentment in our hearts, that we could come, listen, as unworthy, oh hallelujah, as unworthy as we are, as sinful as we was in times past, I'm telling you what, thank God, not worthy of any good thing from God, but thanks be unto God, the Holy Ghost of God, under the preaching of the Word of God, reached down farther than I could reach up and brought me out of the mire pit and set my feet on a solid rock and saved me and redeemed me and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I get to go to heaven one day. And thank God, I ought to praise him. I ought to worship him. To glorify him. I ought to honor him with all that I have this morning. Thank God, is our time being productive this morning when it comes to worship. Preacher, we want to transition into being a quiet church. Well, you might ought to hunt you up somebody else. God's been too good to me for that. In other words, what some of you are saying is you want a dead church. Now, anywhere that I see in the scriptures where God's at, there's life. Oh, think about it. Everywhere you see God, there's life. There's something going. Anywhere there's the presence of God taking place, preacher, I'm telling you what, there's life. There's something going on. I'm telling you, the only place you don't see the presence of God in the Word of God is in a place called hell, because it's a place of death and a place of torment. I'm glad, thank God, hallelujah, when you get in the presence of Almighty God, I'm telling you what, thank God, I'm glad he's not dead and I shouldn't be and you shouldn't be. We ought to worship him, worship him, worship him today in spirit and in truth. Many young people will grow up in an atmosphere, in a setting, and never know what real worship is. Sometimes it's maybe by the tears. Sometimes it's by the raising of the hand. Sometimes it's by shout hallelujah. But the question is, are we making the most of our time when it comes to worship? As I said, the Lord's day has become golf day, going to the lake day, four-wheeler day, baseball day, car race day, mowing grass day. Oh. Preacher. When I was a kid growing up, I believe if some people had caught some of the other people out in their yard mowing grass, they'd have probably stopped and asked, well, what are you doing? It's the Lord's day. I'm talking about lost people didn't even do that. Well, preacher, it's my day. I'm going to do what I want to do. Who gave you the day? Who made the day? Who gave you breath for the day? Who gave you strength for the day? It was the Lord every day as far as that's concerned. But my soul, can we not one day a week? I know some of you are not going to come back tonight, and some of you are not going to come on Wednesday night, but while you're here, praise God this morning. You ought to honor the Lord. You ought to worship Him. It's the Lord's day. It's His day. He arose, hallelujah, on the first day of the week. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive today, my friend. It ought to be a day to honor the Lord. And on this day, we should honor Him, as we should with every day of our life. But if we don't honor Him today, you won't honor Him tomorrow. Oh, preacher's got a mean streak. I'm just being honest. If you don't worship Him today, you don't honor Him today, you're most likely not going to honor Him tomorrow. But boy, when that first storm comes by, I believe we preached on that last week, didn't we? Let's move on to something else. Amen. I know you'll love that. You'll sure be wanting to get His attention then, because He's got yours. Making the most of our time. Let's be careful with procrastination, all of us. And let's let our time be productive when it comes to the worship of Christ. Let's make the most of our opportunities, not only to be productive in our worship, but also to be productive in our walk. If you go back over to verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5 that we read into your hearing this morning, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Is our time being productive in our worship? Is time being productive in our walk? Now, I love verse 1 of this chapter. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Have you ever noticed how a child wants to follow in their parents' footsteps? I mean, when they're little fellas, they just want to follow you everywhere. Wherever you go, that's where they want to go. Boy, there's a message there. Woo. But notice in our productivity, if I'm going to be productive and you're going to be productive in the time that we have allotted to us, then I think that it would be a good idea if we would learn to follow God. as dear children, that we would walk with him, not try to run in front of him. Boy, sometimes we've already got it figured out, so we don't need him anyhow. But boy, it's not too far when you get out there in front of him that you're wanting to run back and get behind him. So we don't need to try to run in front of him. And we don't necessarily need to walk behind him, but we need to walk with him as children. Isn't it amazing you can grab a child with a hand, and if they trust you, you can lead them anywhere. Now, I said a key word there. If they trust you, if you have gained their trust, you can lead them along anywhere you want to take them. God wants to take us somewhere. God wants to do something in us. God wants to do something through us. But for you and I to be productive, we're going to have to walk with him. I'm afraid sometimes the reason that we're not using our time to its full advantage and making the most of it is we're spending more time trying to walk away from him than we are to walk with him. Watch it, there it goes. Lead them anywhere if they trust you. Are we making the most of our time of walking with God? Are we spending some time with him each and every day? Walking with him? Talking with him? Allowing him to be God? Allowing him to lead us, allowing him to guide us, allowing him to direct us. Do you understand something today? You can never go wrong with following God. Never. Preacher, sometimes it takes us into rough places. Oh yeah, sometimes it does. But as long as you follow him, it'll be productive. Are we making the most of our time? We need to be careful. Need to be careful of procrastination. We need to make sure that we allow our time to be productive in our worship of Christ, with our walk with Christ. And I thought about this, thirdly, our witness for Christ. As we said in Colossians 4:5, the Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. What's he talking about? Those that are outside the faith. Those that are without Christ. Then he says this, redeeming the time. Making the most of our time in worship, making the most of our time in our walk, making the most of our time in our witness. Because someone is watching our lives, as we've said so many times before, but there's also someone listening to our lives, to what we say. How many times has the Lord placed upon your heart to witness to somebody? And not today, Lord. Maybe tomorrow will be a better opportunity. Now, you may not have ever been there, but I have. What happens when tomorrow doesn't come? Remember, redeeming talks about improving upon opportunity. Are we being productive? Are we making it count in our worship, in our walk, in our witness? We need to be careful of procrastination. We need to let our time be productive, because thirdly, time is precious. According to the Bible. James chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Preacher, I plan on living to be 100. Well, you may plan on it, but that don't mean it's going to happen. Everybody always thinks, I've got tomorrow. Now, we hope we have. But do you realize there's people today that don't have tomorrow? Now, I pray not be anybody here today, but I don't know that. It could be me, it could be you, it could be my family, it could be your family. But somewhere along life's way, in this day's time, is their last day. I remember hearing my grandmother and several others, boy, when you get older, time sure does fly. Man, I couldn't wait till I got big enough to start driving. Of course, I started driving when I was about 11 or 12 when I could reach the pedals. Just didn't have no license. Boy, I couldn't wait until Brother Jerry, I could get my driving license. I mean, when you're real small, it's from one Christmas to, I mean, it's 5 years to Christmas. Then you get a little older, like I say, and boy, you're looking forward to getting them driving license, and boy, you get them driving license, and then you postboard your wall with the tickets, Randy. I'll never forget that, Brother Gilbert, telling me that. Amen. Just can't wait to get my driving license. And though it ain't long after you get them driving license, till, man, you want to go sparking. Everybody knows what sparking is, don't you? Hey, man, you want to go courting, Ryan? That's what sparking is. Boy, you just can't wait till you find that one. And then you get married, you're married 25 years, and you say, Lord, have mercy, where's the time went? I'm being honest. Oh, boy, I tell you, that time goes by in a hurry when you get a little older. Well, I'm finding out, where has the time gone? Just like James said, it's like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then poof, it vanisheth away. Time's precious. Why spend all of it procrastinating? Why not spend it being productive? Psalms 90 and 10. I'm about done, I promise. The days of our years. And this is a great psalm that Moses, it's a psalm of about Moses and the children of Israel, and I would encourage you to read it. But Psalms 90 and 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. Do you know how long that is? That is, for you folks that don't know, that's 70 years. So for you folks that's reached 70 years, you ought to praise God for it. Amen. And then he goes on. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, how many is that? 80. And some of you have been blessed to see 80. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Kind of sounds like that vapor, don't it? Poof. Now, if you get 70, you're doing good. If you get 80, you're doing real good. And if you get over that, man, you've just done excellent. But you're still going to fly away. You're going to go flying up. You're going to go flying down. Poof. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that is a simultaneous action. When you close your eyes in death as a child of God, the next thing you see is a place called heaven. Hallelujah. But just like the rich man, when he opened his eyes, he was in torments. Time. We ought to make the most of our time. Time is precious. I look at my children, and I realize just how precious time is. What happened? I was carrying him like this one day, and now I go, they still know who Daddy is. Amen. Preacher, I'll tell somebody I love them tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. Preacher, I'm going to get things right with my brothers and my sisters in Christ, my family, whoever it is. I'm going to get right with them tomorrow. Awful hard to look down into a casket. Would you forgive me? And all they do is lay and look at you because it's too late. Time is so precious. If you live to be 100, it's just a small scratch of what eternity is. We ought to make the most of our time. Preacher, I'm busy. Everybody is. Preacher, it's perilous times. It is. But I say it's exciting times. I've got today to serve the Lord. I can worship Him. I can walk with Him. I can be a witness for Him. Time is precious. And lastly, for the sinner, the time is now. Now, for the Christian, it is as well, and I understand that. We've tried to preach that and relay that message to what we're going to do. We need to do now. We need to do quickly. As Jesus even told Judas, what you got to do, go do quickly. Time's running out. But for the sinner, the time is now. Listen to me, friend. The time is now. I'll never forget when God was dealing my heart about being saved, convicted me, drawing me. And the old devil would jump up there and say, wait till next Sunday. Wait till next week. You try to live and be a good little boy this week, and when you get here next week, you can get saved. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Has anybody else ever been there? Well, could I see your hands? Would you be a witness with me this morning of that? That he'd prop up there and he'd say, you just wait till next week. Well, do you understand if I'd have waited long enough, there would have been no next week. There could have been no next week. I'm just so glad that God didn't give up on me. I'm glad he didn't quit. I'm glad he kept knocking. I'm glad, thank God, for mercy and grace. I'm glad for the long suffering and the patience of God. But friend, let me tell you, let me warn you, now is the time. And you better make the most of it. Because you may not have tomorrow. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. Preacher, I'm going to wait till I get on the bed of affliction and then I'll get right. Do you realize that you're one heartbeat? One heartbeat from eternity. And it's only by the grace and mercy of God that your heart beats in your chest today. Now is the time. For you folks, it may be out of the will of God. Now is the time. for you folks that your family's in a mess, to get it right now is the time. Now is the time. Let us make the most of our time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the latter part. Let me close with this. Behold, now. Behold, now is, that's present tense, the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Preacher, I believe I'll wait. Now is the time. Now is the time for repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Now is the time. Not only is it time for repentance, it's time to receive. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. And now is the time to return. You've walked away from God. Instead of doing like Paul's encouraging the church at Ephesus to be followers of God, as dear children, you've walked away from Him. But aren't you glad He's still reaching with outreached arms? Now is the time to return. What do you need to do today with this time? Let us each consider and make the most of this day. And if God lets us live tomorrow, make the most of that day. Because time is swiftly passing. I used to think that people who were 50 years old were old. Man, they're old. Man, they ain't old. It changes your perspective a whole lot when you get close to it. Ryan just turned 30 Friday. He's getting old, ain't he? I mean, old. Lord, to be 30 again. Hallelujah. But if the Lord lets you live to 50, don't look back on it and think, I didn't make the most of the time that He gave me. It's easy to let it slip by. Boy, it is. I can testify to that. Man, it's awful easy to let it slip by. Not appreciate it. Not take advantage of it. But right now, today, now is the time. What will you do with it? Friend, if you need to be saved, now's the day. I'd love to see you saved. Watched a little second grader on Thursday. Me and Richard worked with him and talked with him, and Richard prayed with him. He's grown up in church, heard preaching. But Thursday, something happened. Become real to him. Just very simple, very, very humble. Want to be saved. God can do something with you when you're like that. And He will. Now is the time. Now is the day. What will you do with your time? Let us stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Ryan, you come. Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. Father, we love You this morning. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that each of us here today that are saved would take into consideration, Lord, how we stand with you and where we stand with you this morning. And Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that we need to repent of, we need to return, we need to get right, I pray you'd help us to do it today. And then, Lord, most importantly, if there's one here today that's never been saved, now is the time. Now is the day. I pray that you will take this invitation. I pray you'll speak to every heart. And I pray that we will be obedient and come and make the most of our time that you have entrusted and gifted us with. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.